because the verse that came to mind when I was thinking about this topic of worship and intimacy with God was this verse from Hebrews 10. And it says, let us draw near to God. I'm going to get this right. There we go. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings. Let us draw near to God. And I wanted us to think a little bit about how we understand and how God has helped us through the Old Testament. So we haven't specifically got a reading today, but we're going to look at Scripture practically, which is why we have quite a lot of tables in front of us. Because they're going to slowly start having things on them, which are going to help us to think about a journey. Because in Exodus, God says to Moses, while he's been on the mountain, when he's been given the Ten Commandments, in that moment with God, God gives him a plan. And it's a plan for a space, a mobile space, that the people of God can take with them wherever they go. And in Exodus 25, it says, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Should have worked. There we go. Might be that I need to pick it up. There we go. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Another word for the word dwell is tabernacle. I will tabernacle with them. I will live with them. And I want you to build a sanctuary that helps God's people to understand what is to come. Not just that I'm going to dwell with them in the center of their camp, which is where the tabernacle would be built, but I want them to know what is to come. And so what we're going to do this morning is have a think about that tabernacle. Think about the different aspects of the tabernacle and the way that that tabernacle teaches us about our journey with God, and more important, what he wants us to understand about his journey and dwelling with us. And so it's going to be a bit of input, but there's going to be some visual stuff happening in front of us just to try and help us to think about that. And then there'll be a response. And the invitation is, let us draw near to God. Let us come close to him. And hopefully we'll understand how he's made that possible. And hopefully we'll understand the excitement of being able to do that. And so the tabernacle. I will send these, I'll make these available afterwards. But the tabernacle was a tent that was built in wherever they were staying, at the center of their camp. And it was a place that had one door. The red on my right was the only entrance into this tabernacle. Only one way to get in. Only one way to get into the tabernacle, into the place that represented God's presence. When they built the temple afterwards, a physical, stationary representation of the tabernacle, although they added more to the temple, it still had one entrance. And the people came to this temple, or to the tabernacle, praising God. And one of the psalms, Psalm 100, one of the shorter psalms, says this: shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts. Enter the gates of the tabernacle with thanksgiving. Enter the courts, the outer space, with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. The attitude of the people who came to the tabernacle was one of thanksgiving and praise. They entered through the one gate. And in this psalm, we're reminded that we are his people, the sheep of his pastures. And Jesus would say that I am the gate for my sheep. That there is only one way to come to God. And it's through Jesus. The tabernacle points toward the one gate, the one way into the presence of God. And Jesus says, I'm the gate. But they come with thanksgiving. And in the Psalms, we have a series of Psalms that are entitled the Songs of Ascent. And these would have been the Psalms that the people would sing, particularly when they came to the temple later on. For the three main festivals, there would be songs of praise and declaration of bringing themselves together. They didn't come into this place and kind of like, what's going to happen to me? They came with the praise of all that God had already done. So my first question this morning is, what do we come? Natalie asked us, what's been good about our week? Have we come this morning thinking, God, what have you been doing in my life? Where have I seen you at work? Where are the challenges as well? But what do I come with thanksgiving? Let's just take a moment as we journey through this tabernacle to think, what do we thank God for this morning? What can we think of who he is and what he's done that we can thank God for this morning? Let's just take a moment of stillness to do that. So as the people of God, full of praise and thanksgiving, enter the tabernacle, the first thing they see is a place of sacrifice. A place of sacrifice. A huge bonfire ready for the sacrifices of the people to be placed. The sacrifices representing the sins of the people. As they walked into that space, they would be reminded of their separation from God, sin. And with all the rules and regulations, all the different animals, all the different ways and things, depending on what it is that you had done wrong, that represented the sins of the people. The priests in that space would sacrifice and bring burnt offerings to God. Dealing with that sin, dealing with that separation from God. So the first thing they see is a place of sacrifice, a place of offering to God. But we know that as we come into that space, as we journey with God together, we know that from Scripture, that one sacrifice was made for all. That we don't need to continually bring our sacrifices to God. We don't need to continue those rituals of separation from God. Because Jesus became the sacrifice. He became the one who brought all sacrifice to an end. In dying for each and every one of us. To make it possible to journey into the very presence of God. Done once and for all. Each and every one of us. In our mind's eye, as we journey towards God, we remember that we pass the cross. That it's not the destination that we're heading towards. It's not the end of everything, but it's just the beginning. It's the opportunity to enter into that place of dwelling for God. of God. And so as we journey with God, as we think about intimacy with God, we remember that we pass that place. Again, with thanksgiving in our hearts. And behind the altar of sacrifice was a bronze bull. And the bronze bull was for cleansing, for water, so that the people could be made clean. Our sins are dealt with, but we're made clean by God. And we remember the waters of baptism, that in response to the work of Jesus, in response to what he's done in the cross, we say, we stand for you. We're cleansed by him. A place of cleansing. And as Paul says to us, we're not sinners anymore, but we're saints that make mistakes. And so we pass this place and we remember that we need to just get rid of the things. So our confession to God is not one of sacrifice, but one of cleansing, of take away. I'm conscious of the things that I've done since in the last, over the last, for however long. I'm conscious of them and I want to be made clean. So that we can come into the very presence of a holy God. And for this, at this point, in the journey of the tabernacle, all but the priests would stop. For each and every one of the people of God, this would be the only place they would come to. Because the journey, the next bit of the journey into the holy place, was a place just for priests. And in this place are three tables. Three tables that represent the character of God and the person of Jesus. Who he was and what he did. Three tables that the priests would daily attend to keep in order, to minister to, for the people. But the invitation for each of us in this journey through Jesus is to step into this place. Not to stop and say, thank you, God, for dealing with all my sins. Now I'll get on with the rest of my life. But it was to journey on. To journey on into this place. The three things that we see in this space. Come back to the tabernacle. There we go. So we are into that with the rectangular gold bit. So there's the gate, which is red, the altar and the bronze laver. And then there was the entranceway into the holy place. And in this place are three things. Natalie, I'm going to get you to come and help me with this bit. It's okay. The first was showbread. A symbol of the people of God. Representing their tribes, but representing the provision of God. He is a God who provides for his people. He takes care of his people. He looks after his people. A symbol of God's presence and provision. And Jesus would say, when he came onto the earth, he came and he said, I am the bread of life. I am everything that you need. And And so we can pray in the prayer that Jesus taught us, give us today our daily bread. Because he is everything that we need. We don't have to worry about our provision. We don't have to worry about the things of the future because he is everything that we need, represented in this place. Opposite the bread, as Natalie brings it in, is a candle. The seven. There we go, there's the showbread. A candle. The only thing in this space that would light, illuminate this part of the tabernacle. God's guiding presence. God's people were guided through the desert by a fire at night so that they could see where they were going. In this place, ministered to by his priests, was a symbol of God's guidance and light for his people. And again, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am your guidance. I am the one that you can follow because I am good and I will lead you into good places. Okay, John, light them. And finally, in this space was the altar of incense. Continually burning incense, continually smoking the place, a place of intercession. It represented the people's prayers going up to heaven, filling this whole space with scent and smoke. And Jesus again says, I'm interceding on your behalf. Not just the prayers of the people going up to heaven, but I am in that very place praying for you. So when we come to pray, when we come to connect with God, we come to connect with Jesus, who is already interceding. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we connect with Jesus, who already knows what that looks like, and he helps to steer and guide our prayers. The holy place, ministered to by God's people, a place of provision, a place of guidance, a place of prayer. And this would be a place that the priests would daily attend to, making sure everything was in order. But there was one more place in the temple, in the tabernacle. One more place behind a curtain, a thick curtain, a curtain that blocked off a space behind, a place behind known as the Holy of Holies. At the very end of this journey through the tabernacle is the place, the very presence of God. The place that represented his presence on the earth. The place that he lived. The holy place. A place where the Ark of the Covenant lived. An ark that, as we read through scripture, tells us that whenever someone touched it who shouldn't have touched it, they were killed. It was so holy. It had the Ten Commandment tablets with inside it. It had the staff, Aaron's, Moses' staff that turned, with the almond branch that turned, representing the very presence of God. Only one person a year could enter the Holy of Holies. Only one person a year could go into that place. The high priest that was chosen. Such a holy place that when the priest went into that place, he was put a belt around him with a rope on, so that if he died in God's presence, he could be pulled out without anyone else going into that space. A place full of the incense smoke that filled that place, the prayers of the people. The very presence of God. Intimacy with him. But we've said that we're walking through the tabernacle. And we've said that a temple was built replicating that tabernacle. A place that still stood when Jesus came to the earth. There's that curtain covering the whole of the front. And let me read what Mark says about the death of Jesus. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Some ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar and put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." The temple curtain was torn in two. The temple curtain that protected people from the very presence of God, that separated even the priests, except one a year, from the very presence of God, was torn in two. Not from bottom to top, from earthly man to God, because it was our way. But from top to bottom, because it was God's intention. That the way to be with God, the very intimate place with God, was now open. Not just symbolized in a tabernacle, but through the work of Jesus, through his cross, his death. It was made possible for each and every one of us to enter into the very presence of God. Intimacy with him was possible, not just symbolized in a tent, but made possible for each and every one of us. And in Hebrews, the writer writes, telling us this story of how the temple tabernacle pointed us to God and how Jesus changed everything. Now, the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In this first room, there were lampstands and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which was the golden altar of incense and the golden ark of the covenant. This contained the gold jar of manna and Aaron's staff that had budded and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry, but only the high priest entered the inner room. And that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people that had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed, as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings. But when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that were now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Intimacy is not something that is far off, but has been made possible through the work of the cross that we can be with him. And so we come to the passage we started with. Hebrews 10, but starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is the body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The invitation is for all. The invitation is to come close. Question is, will we? Where are we comfortable stopping in our journey in the tabernacle? Do we get to the place of sacrifice and we say, thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Now I'll get on with it myself. Are we happy to journey beyond that? And to know all of the things that God gives us, all the good gifts that he shares with us, the guidance that he brings to bring us life and to cause us to thrive, the provision to make that happen and interceding on our behalf that it might be fulfilled. Are we happy to stop in that place? Or will we be a people who finish the journey that God started? That says we can be a people who dwell with God as he dwells with us. Will we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to draw us into that very place of intimacy with God? And so I want to give us space and time to respond. The worship team are going to come up and lead us. But the invitation is to step through. And for some of us, all of us, it would be a bit of a squeeze. But for some of us or all of us, it may be helpful to walk past this place and just to remind yourself that we've been cleansed. To walk past these places and symbols of Jesus. And to walk through the curtain. and to have space and time in that place as the worship band leads us to say, I just want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. So let me pray for us. What's God saying to you this morning? I want to remind you of Paul's talk a couple of weeks ago and that sense of being undignified. That sense of doing something that may make you feel foolish, it may make you feel uncomfortable. But when we are people who know the very presence of God, looking foolish makes no difference whatsoever. So we're going to have some time. Take as long or as short as you want. If you're just like, I just want to get in there, just come straight up. Stay there as long as you want. Practically, if when you feel like you've finished, if you have come up and through and you have finished, then you can come out the side and around the side, and then others that are coming through, we're not going to get a block coming through this way. But as we leave that space as well, we don't leave God's presence. He is with us just as much as the doorway is open into his presence comes out. And the tabernacle is needed no more because his very presence is with us always. So Holy Spirit, come. Thank you for the visual representation of the tabernacle. But thank you that we're not limited to that anymore. That we're not limited to priests who preside for us. But your invitation to us, each and every one of us, is to come and draw near. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help us to step into that today.